We do a good bit of reading in the book tonight. I have some places I have underlined, so you'll be able to underline some things and have some things written down, so you'll be able to write them down. Also, we'll probably finish up chapter 2 and then go into chapter 3 tonight. It begins to talk about unity and us unified as a church. So starting at chapter 2, and we read some of these things last time we met, but we'll read them again for knowledge's sake. That first line, it says, God is raising governing territorial epicenters across the nation. They are becoming God's operational tactical base for God's invasion into the cities and the regions about. Second paragraph, it says, governing territorial churches are local churches that have become the epicenter and hub of divine activity in the region. Now, y'all make sure, I know y'all may have that underlined already. If you don't, underline it now. It's going to be important for you on your test. The spiritual position of stature helps these local churches to enhance kingdom influence by exercising dominion in the spirit realm over the power of darkness. So now we see that our job as a church, or our job as a church unusual, is also to extend kingdom dominion over the powers of darkness in that area. All right. Church as usual is easy. Church as usual is being done every Sunday. Church as usual is being done every week. I could take you to a lot of usual churches. Somewhere along the line, and I've said this before, somewhere along the line, we lost the goal of what church was about. I mean, even saying the word church, as soon as I say the word church, and I say it again, church, and you hear somebody talk about church, your mind comes up with a concept. But now you have to check that concept of your mind and see, is it lining up with the word of God, or is it lining up with this tradition or religion that you've been taught? Traditions of men have made the word of God a none effect. It's amazing, ain't it? And so to be effective, we cannot be in tradition. We cannot be usual. Just even that statement right there, that they're there to exercise kingdom dominion. Y'all, hit that statement, exercise kingdom dominion. These local churches are here to enhance kingdom influence by exercising dominion in the spirit realm over the power of darkness. So we're not here just to get your clap on. You're not called just to get your shout on and get your notes on and get your whatever you think church is about on, right? Right? Y'all know we all got our concepts, right? It's not about that. Praise the Lord for that. Clap your hands, all you people. Praise the Lord, it's the Bible, right? Get your shout on, amen. Get happy. I do it also, but we cannot stop that. Many times I see church where people come, they get shouted at, so they shout back, right? Y'all know how it goes, right? Then we get happy and we get emotional and we fall out on the floor, but we get up like we fell. We go back to the car like we did when we was walking into the church. It's not meant, church is not, listen, we as a church are not meant to be that way. We as a church, when I say we as a church, not the church building, not the church meeting, but we as a church, it's not meant to be that way. When somebody comes in contact with the church, there should be change. There should be some ignited fire. I remember when Jesus came back and he was walking around the city and they didn't know who he was. The guy, he said, did not our hearts burn? Because that power that was on the inside of Jesus triggered something on the inside of every person that he came in contact with. And it's the same thing that the church should be doing. Now, if we really look at the definition of church, unusual, and then we think about church as usual, that hasn't been happening. I say it over and over again. I'll say it again till I go home to be with Jesus. The people in this world are not offended with God. They are offended with the church. They are not offended with God and God. You can't be offended by God and God's love because it's always bringing them in. It's trying to help them out. They're not offended with that. They're offended with us not being who we should be. It's offensive if I show up to you and you are a mechanic and I show up to your shop but you don't fix my car. You've offended me. You didn't do the thing that I came here to get done. It upsets me if I come to your place of business and you say, anybody ever had a bad business deal with somebody before? You went there to get something done and they ain't do it like they're supposed to? Or they said they could do this, but they really couldn't do it? Right. It becomes offensive. And it becomes, this is offensive. You become offended at that when you come looking for something and you don't get what you come looking for. Now, if you start talking about God and we represent him, well, who is God? What does he mean? What can he do? What does he promise? What has he said that he was going to do? What is the thing that God has said that he can do for people's lives? Think about all the promises of God right now. We don't have to, we can go, I can go out the room, we can keep yelling promises, and we wouldn't have enough people to say how many promises of God there are. All the things that he can change, all the things that he's changed in you, remember? All the things that God has promised, so people come looking for that. But if they don't get that, they become offended. Because I showed up looking for a change, and you gave me the regular. Or I showed up looking for a change, and you gave me your games. I showed up looking for change and you gave me your rules and religion. No, people come in looking for a change. This is when it becomes church unusual. We as a group of people, as a generation, we have to change what the church looks like. Now, if we really look at it as a whole, the church doesn't have a favorable look on it. Just being honest. Not by our eyesight, because we're here in ministry school, right? Praise the Lord. It's very easy for us to base it on what we look like because we're here amongst brothers and sisters. All right? But if we look outside the doors and outside the walls, the church doesn't have a favorable view. And it's not because something's wrong with us praising. It's not because something's wrong with us worshiping. It's not nothing wrong with that. It's not because of that. It's not because of the word. It's because when people show up, they're looking for something different. And if we don't bring them nothing different, I label you as normal. I label you as a game. I label you as a racket. See, one thing about Jesus, they could not label him as just a regular old messenger. They tried to, but they couldn't do it. The Pharisees, I've been doing a lot of study about Jesus. The Pharisees wanted to deny all the things that they heard about Jesus. Say they heard that he had fed all these thousands of people with 5 loaves, 2 fish. But they wanted to deny it. But then right there in front of their face, he healed a man's hand. When change takes place, nobody can deny the power of God. When change shows up, can't nobody say that you're normal. They got to say, you must be a servant of the Most High God. They'll begin to say it without your title. Oh, do y'all hear me? Come on, ministers. They'll begin to say it without your reverend, your pastor, your doctorate, your apostle, your prophet, whatever you want to put in front of your name. They'll begin to say it without your title. Let me tell you something about ministers. A lot of times ministers won't take on titles that they haven't taken on. Are y'all hearing that? Do y'all hear that statement? You're taking on titles that you haven't taken on. You haven't operated in the power of God in that field. You haven't let God use you and change you and mold you and cut you and drive you in that mold, but you want to wear it because you finished school. They got enough reverends running around here. I don't even want them. Y'all call me Reverend Montrell because I know people, you know, want to have something to call you because they don't just want to call you by your first name. Praise the Lord. But you ain't got to call me Reverend. But I'll be sure that when I show up, there'll be some reverence in the room. And it's not going to be because of me. It's because of the Holy Ghost. See, let me tell y'all something. I've never been okay with normal. I've never been okay. They call me the rebel sometimes. I think I'm the black sheep sometimes around because I can be reckless sometimes. I knew another reckless man. His name was Jesus. I could be reckless sometimes. All right. I've never been okay with normal. I never allowed myself to be okay with normal. I never allowed myself to be okay with average. I never allowed myself to be okay with usual. Why, Montrell? Why are you not okay with usual? Why are you not okay with normal? What is God normal? I ain't never read nothing that said you will have normal peace and you will have a normal victory. Everything I hear about God is exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. I hear that his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I hear that I can't even conceive the breadth and the length and the depth and the love of Christ. I can't even understand that. That's not normal. So where did we come with this normal gospel? On what lineage in the timeline of history did we show up with this normal regular gospel that wasn't making no change? Something is wrong. Listen, when things are not working like it should work, you have to sit back and say, okay, something is wrong. If it's not moving like it's supposed to move, you sit back. And the Bible talks about consider your ways. Though you put money in bags, but you put it in holes and you never got enough. Though you eat, but you're never full. You're never satisfied. Though you drink, but your thirst is never quenched. Though you're cold and you put coats on, but you're still freezing. Consider your ways. And we as people, we as ministers, we as the church, and we are part of the church as a whole, have to consider our ways. It's something that we're not doing. And there's something that we're not paying attention to. It's a gut check. Gut check for me, I got it. But it's an everyday gut check. You got in the morning, you should be praying, all right, Lord, how do I be part of the church better? How do I serve as the church? Normal is not acceptable. Get it through your head. No, you can't be a normal minister. Listen to me well. You can't. No, not one of y'all. You say, well, I don't know what God called me to do. Whatever he called you to do is something special, so you can't be normal. You have to set your mind. Let me talk to y'all for a minute. Before we leave out this class tonight. Understand something, that you got to set your mind for extraordinary. You have to set your imagination for over and above. If you never say, as he thinketh, huh? So if I'm thinking normal, all I'm going to get is normal. If I'm thinking regular, all I'm going to get is regular. Stop trying to make the Holy Ghost do things like you want him to do it. He ain't going to never. The way you probably fix it in your mind, he probably going to flip it up another way just so your faith will be on him. Because if you knew it all, it wouldn't be no faith, would it? I walk by faith and not by sight, huh? It talks about trust in the Lord. So get that normal out your mind. Get that usual out your mind. I know you might have went to church sometime, or you might have done something and you felt usual. That's fine, but get that out your head. When's the last time you asked God for unusual? When the last time you approached God with an unusual request in your prayer time? We can't become unusual until we start approaching. See, I wanted to read some of this book. It's about, are y'all ready? It's about your approach. See, a lot of people do it. We approach God normally. And we approach God as normal. And so we don't get nothing special. Because we approach him as he's regular. We don't approach God for all the greatness that he is. We don't approach God expecting him to do something beyond me, beyond my mind, beyond my reach, beyond my smartness, beyond my understanding, beyond my scriptures. And so because we don't approach God and we don't have a proper perspective towards what God wants to do, it becomes normal and not unusual. It's about your approach. This approach that you're making towards ministry, right? We're in ministry school, we're in training center, right? So we're approaching this walk on this battlefield in ministry. Let me tell you something about that. You have to approach this properly. On your approach to being in ministry and on your approach to being whatever God called you to be, you have to approach this with unusual in mind. The regular will not work anymore. We done played all the games, right? We done played them all. We know them all. We done all the shouts. We done learned all your favorite scriptures that keep people happy in church. Now what? Y'all ever feel like that? Tell the truth to me. Now what? Look, it's an epicenter for divine activity. You are an epicenter for divine activity. They keep the heavens open, wow. And the atmosphere conducive for kingdom demonstration. And the next line said, God needs a gateway and a spiritual avenue for spiritual invasion into the cities of the earth. They are the entrance point on the earth. So now, oh my goodness, so now God needs to enter through us. Huh? Yes, sir. That means God is trusting us to be unusual minded so he can do something unusual through us. We pray, God, use me. Lord, use me. I want you to use me, Lord. All right, so when he show up with that unusual request, don't get scared. Don't try to put him back in your box. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Because he wants to come, God wants to come through us to the earth. He wants to come through the church to the earth to make something different in the cities of the earth. Can't be normal. We are, and you put this down, We are the entrance point. For whatever God wants to do on this earth, we are the entrance point. And I know we talked about us being the church, and then the church as a whole, we meeting together as a church to make a regular place a holy place. Remember, make a regular place an awesome place. I believe God did it that way because he wants the same effect through us individually. Wherever you go tomorrow, like you go somewhere, I don't go tomorrow, right? Right, and I'm going to go somewhere you don't go tomorrow. Well, we still a church, aren't we? So it should be some kingdom demonstration wherever you are, right? But I believe God brought us together. He brought the government together. He brought the apostolic together so that no man would think of himself more highly than the other thing. Because what agenda? Everybody say agenda. What happens is if you was the interest point and that was the only interest point, then you could start taking advantage. Y'all get me? Ministers do it all the time. Huh? Y'all know it? Take advantage. I started doing some study about Jesus in the time back then. Them priests were taking advantage of people. That's what was going on. Jesus went over and flipped them tables over because they were taking advantage of people. Charging them people all kind of money, raising the price on the taxes and all that, creating new kind of money so the conversion rate will be less so they'll make money off all the people coming in for Passover. They were taking advantage of the people. So if it was all about what you, if you was the interest point, I think God did it and made it a joint thing. We're going to talk about unity in a minute. Made it a joint thing so that everybody know that it's not about you. It's a bigger than you. That's why government is in place. Y'all see me? That's why the Bible talks about every joint supplies. We are the entrance point. These local churches are built in such a way to facilitate the move of God on earth. I'll flip over to the next page. I think it's page 24. We're reading. It says, it talks about set the mission accurately. Somebody read that first line. Without this feature, we will attract the wrong crowd and pursue the wrong people. Or you say, well, they got the wrong people to pursue? Yes. What has God called you to do? We'll read it in a minute, but, you know, the doors of church are always open, huh? You know that statement, the doors of church are always open? Yeah, and we're here to help people, but sometimes God has called us. I think it was this class we were talking about Pastor Gideon. Did we talk about Pastor Gideon in this class? Huh? Did we talk about Pastor Gideon? Yeah, everybody wasn't supposed to be out there on that field. Can y'all imagine? I said last time, can y'all imagine 32,000 unready people running around on the field? Everybody gonna die. Think about it for a minute. People get about 20, 25 people in the room, 20, 25 people. Just imagine we all went outside, and maybe about four of us were really trained to fight. But we was all running in the direction of the wall. It'd be mayhem, huh? Then the four that know how to fight gonna get killed. Because they're gonna trip over one of the other ones that don't know how to fight and get in some trouble. Ain't that the truth? Then you're going to have the scary ones like Gideon had and didn't really want to be out there. They wasn't dedicated. They're going to be running the other way. You're going to full on shoot one of them because they're running in the wrong direction. Do y'all see the mayhem? You got to use your imagination. Now, there's a book called Living by the Book that I teach in my other classes in the first year. So y'all going to have to get it on your own. It's called Living by the Book, but it's a really good book. It tells you how to observe the word and tells you how to pay attention to what's going on. And I really went into that Gideon story and really realized why it was important to send all them thousands of people back. It was very important. I don't want no 19,000 people out there that don't want to be there out there fighting with me. Because they might switch teams and we start losing. Might change jerseys. Start shooting for the other team. I don't want that. And so you have to set your mission accurately from the start and inception. Without this, we would attract the wrong crowd and pursue the wrong people. And I say that talking about getting to say this, that we are in an army and we are training for something that God wants to be done. We're not just here for fellowship. It's not a fellowship meeting. No. I know they say we fellowship. That's one of our church words, right? Right? Yeah. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I say? We fellowship. Let's fellowship with everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. But we're here to work. That's why I get to church. I speak and I'm nice. I really am. I'm really nice. You see me at church, I'm going to speak. Good morning. How you doing? But when game time hit, I'm not going to be smiling at you doing church. Hey, what you think? I ain't worried about what you think. I'm trying to see what he think. Yeah. It's time to get trained. It's time to find out, what do I need to do, or what is God trying to say through my leader, huh? What is he trying to say to me so that I can operate or I can function this week to play my part in the army so that my joint can supply, that it can be the effectual working of my part? So we're coming to get trained. So now when we're talking about the church now, you have to set the mission accurately. Huh? From the beginning, from the inception. And sometimes we got to go back and change something. I understand. But we got to set the mission accurately so we can attract the right people. Because if you don't attract the right people, you have a bunch of people. You know, the Navy don't need a bunch of pilots. Because the Navy do ships, right? Right? They need captains. They need people to know how to work these ships. We don't need nobody to know how to fly no jets. Because it's not the Air Force. It's the Navy. Do y'all get it? So now you got to attract the right people for what God has called you to do. Do y'all get me? What we want to do, we get so excited. This next line, jump down. It's talking about the military base and won't be accepted place in sick. Y'all see that? Jump down the third paragraph. It says, many churches are failing because they're attracting the wrong crowd. Y'all see that line? Underline it. Many churches are failing because they're attracting the wrong crowd. They are keeping the people who in the future will prevent them from performing their God-given assignment. Wow. When churches become aware of their assignments, they can then choose the right people and train them for the fulfillment of this assignment. We have to. I'm going to get to the next line because I got to keep myself from getting ahead of myself. The next line I say, it may be shocking to know that pastors and church pioneering ministers gather everyone and anyone into their congregation. And this church is usual. You ready? Open the doors of the church. Everybody come on in. Right? Y'all know it, right? Now, don't get all deep. We're not gonna turn nobody away. You're not my type. You're not toward my calling. You don't know that's God gift. You don't know what they calling for. But the problem is not whether the people that are coming. The problem is, you going out there trying to gather a bunch of people. You ever seen the movie Field of Dreams? Anybody ever seen that movie before? Field of Dreams. Y'all never seen it? It's a baseball movie. Field of Dreams. He told it, it's a crazy movie, and it was a good movie to me. I liked it because it made me think about Daryl so much. But he kept on, the voice kept on telling the guy, and he was out in the cornfield, had a bunch of fields, and he kept on telling him, if you build it, they will come. Y'all know the movie now, huh? Yeah. That's how you're quoting the scripture in the Bible. Yeah, I know that scripture, yeah. If that's how it be. If you build it, they will come. And long story short, I ain't got time. I ain't trying to do no movie preview right now. But he ended up building a baseball field with nothing going on, and then these players kept on coming to play at the field and everything. So it began to be a phenomenon. But if you build it, they will come. Jesus said, "I'll be lifted up. I will." But we out there gathering. We go gather them. Well, don't invite nobody to church. I didn't say that, but you got to be mindful of that. Because, see, this church is usual. You ready? You ready for church as usual? You ready for the mindset of church as usual? Let's open up church and get as many people we can and get in here. But why? What that's for? For your ego. Try to validate your calling. Trying to make somebody think you really called to be a pastor. I don't care what y'all think. I'm trying to see what God think about me. And it'll be evident through how he uses me. That's right. If God don't use you, listen, if God ain't working no miracles through you, you need to adjust you. If God ain't doing nothing extraordinary in you, you need to rethink your process. You need to figure out where you missing it at. The problem ain't never on God end. Apostle gave me a key the other day. I've been saying it all day. Like he said, it shall come to pass, say it. And whatever God has promised you, it shall come to pass. He said, Brother Hagin taught him how to do that and taught him how to say that. He said, Brother Hagin used to say that all the time. Because sometimes God will tell you something, but you don't see it right at that moment. And so you get discouraged and you start complaining. Y'all know we've been there, right? Amen. But you just say it shall come to pass. Why? Because you're tapping into the power of God. Now watch this. Because God already knows what he wants to do. God has already planned out what he wants to do with you before you were born. And the power is right there for you. But you've got to line up in the place where the power is so that he can use you. Sometimes the power of God for what God is calling you to do and the actual manifestation is a step over. It's right there. And all you, it shall come to pass. And you just keep telling yourself, and you might not even go all the way over there that day. It shall come to pass. Say it again. It shall come to pass. Say, it shall come to pass. It shall, not my will, but his will be done, right? It shall come to pass. But what I'm doing is lining my mind up and lining myself up and lining my understanding so I can access this power and God can go ahead and do what he wants to do. Listen, God wants to do unusual and amazing things through your life.
Yes, sir.
So you set yourself up to tap into the power. You set yourself up to be unusual. You know what? You really have to focus on being unusual. It's two different words, unusual and weird. They're not the same thing. All right, I give you something. It's why the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Say thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Thank God for the Holy
Come on, let's say it again. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Come on, let's say it again. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You should be saying that throughout your day, man. The Holy Ghost is your helper and your teacher and your guide and guides you in all truth. Show you things to come. Show you things that you do not know. What happens is there's an understanding that we should be doing more. Is that not right? Can we agree on that? There's an understanding that we should be doing more. But because sometimes we haven't been taught or because sometimes we don't do what it takes to access the power, we get to trying to show that we're unusual without the unusual one anointing us. So now we become weird. You're weird. Can't nobody talk to you? You're always doing something reckless in your service. You always got some off the wall doctrine. Huh? Y'all have seen it before, right?
Yeah.
You always got some kind of doctrine that ain't nobody else in the world ever heard. Something that Jesus ain't never talked about. Right? Something that ain't in them scriptures because you're trying to be unusual, but you're really being weird. The difference between you being unusual and being weird is the Holy Ghost. Do y'all get me?
Yes,
see, I've seen this over in church over years. They start doing little stuff in the churches and having little gimmicks and different things because they're trying to see me. No, you're playing games. That's usual. You can play the game. Other people can play the game. Do y'all feel me? It's not about that. It's about the unadulterated power of God. God doing something different. So you got to set your mission accurately. Many churches are failing because they're attracting the wrong crowd. And say it may be shocking to know that pastors and church pioneering ministers are gathering everyone and anyone into their congregation. Well, I wonder why you're not growing. Well, I wonder why you got all them problems, because you're gathering everyone and anyone into your congregation. And that last line on page 24 says, we must get them into the work, not meetings. Y'all see that? And make them fruitful, not just. I think about that statement, Selah. Look at it. Read it again. Think about all the meetings we be having, all the conventions and convocations, and all the different meetings and camp meetings, and all the different things that we have, right? Right? Think about it. Y'all know church? Boy, church is the most meetingest place ever. We'll have a meeting in a minute, won't we? We'll have a conference in a second, won't we? I ain't got nothing wrong with the conference. I ain't got nothing wrong with the meeting. I love meeting. I love conferences. But it got to be something unusual going on. All right. So, and then when I do come to the conference, and when I do go to the meeting, and when I do go to the convocation, and when I do go to the spiritual enlightenment, whatever we're going, right? Y'all know all the names we got, right? Come on. I'm saying the different stuff because I want to tap your church nerve.
Yeah.
I'm saying, you know, I refer to different church phrases sometimes. I want to touch your church nerve. Get over all this stuff that we done made up, right? I don't mind going to meet. I don't mind going to this and that. I don't mind. I love it. Thank God for it. But when I go there, it should spark me to work. It should spark me to do the works of the Lord. Not to be busy, but to do the works of the Lord. It's the difference, huh? Not to be busy, not to be a busy church, not to be a busy trying to always into something. No. You run to every meeting. Stop going to every meeting that show up. How confused will you be? It's not about being busy. So when I go there, there's two things in there. When I go there, it should be causing me to work. Most people are okay. Most preachers are okay when they got a packed meeting. Oh, when the building packed, oh, yeah, you, You think you're successful. You haven't reached success when you got enough people in the building. Come on, church, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on, work with me for a second. Church, we think it's a successful meeting because we had all the seats filled. No. Those seats that are filled, how filled were the people in those seats? And then what did they do when they left? I done been to some of the biggest meetings. I done met some of the biggest preachers. God bless them all. And I done been to some of the biggest meetings. I done been to some of the biggest meetings that's out right now. And I done seen some of the greatest waste of talent ever. Packed it out, shouting, screaming, and they all leave the same way they came. But just imagine if the Holy Spirit was able to cut down in that room and get past your emotion and all the feelings and all the jumping and the jiving and the gyrating and be able to cut in there and put something in them people that will inspire them to do something for God, that will inspire them to not just be a Christian, but inspire them to walk like Christ. It's not a successful meeting when you got a bunch of people. You don't have a successful church because you pack the church out every Sunday. No, that's not it. Oh, come on, let's get past the church. That's not it. Am I looking for no bunch of people? I'm looking for people that we're ready. Pastor Gideon, I go to it every time. If it was about them people, he'd have felt like he failed. To go from 32,000 to 300, wouldn't he feel like he failed? I failed you, Lord. And we would have said the same thing. Have your people lead your church. You think you done failed, huh? In your church's usual mind, you think so. About that. Do y'all get it? I have no problem with your church being packed. Praise the Lord for your packed church. Praise the Lord for your packed meeting. It's not about that, but you can't stop there. So when we get them in the meetings, we think we done something. No. What you do with them when you got them in the meeting? All right, and then you train them to be, then you train them to be fruitful, not just faithful. Okay, so now you got them to show up. Oh, well, they're faithful now. You done got them to show up. They coming on the regular. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for rubbing your back because you got the people to come and hear you every Sunday. Oh, you got the people to come and hear your meeting. Okay, so now what? How much fruit has been bad? You'll know a tree by its fruit. You'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And if it's bearing no fruit, then it's barren. So ain't about getting them in your meetings. Let's get to work. Not about trying to make them faithful to try to... I keep touching this stuff, and I have to touch it, and I think this is good. And this is one of the reasons why church usual goes on, but it's ego. We do a lot of different things to appease our ego. Look at me. Y'all look at me. You don't need church service or no group of people to validate your calling. You have already been validated. Are y'all listening to me right now? You don't. In this church as usual, we get in there and we try to do a lot of different things, and we got to get down to this personal thing. Now we got to start cutting ourselves and realize that our validation comes through the Holy Ghost. We don't need this building full of people or somebody following me to prove that I'm a leader. If you were a leader, you were a leader. Amen. If the Holy Ghost calls you a leader, you're a leader. So get to walking. Amen. How can I, gathering everybody, right? Y'all ready? Gathering everybody. How can I lead? Stand up, EJ. Stand up, Brian. Stand up, Troy. Come over here. Go stand by the wall. He over here. Come on. He right here. Nah, I'm a leader. God has called me to be a leader. Now, if I got my mission set accurately, you ready? And if I got it from the inception, I'll write the vision and make it plain that he that read it will run with it, right? So if I got my vision clear, I'm gone. And if you see the vision that God has put on my life and you see what God has called me to do, you walking. But how can I lead if I'm turning around trying to... Come on, man. Y'all, come on. Y'all ready? Y'all come follow me. Come on, man. Y'all come. What kind of leader I am? if I'm up here trying to gather all these people together? It should be to the point, if he got some sense, he got some sense, and if he got some sense, then when I start walking, we gone. And then, how much more progress can we make? Church Unusual, come on. How much more progress can we make if we do it like this? Either we gonna be like this, and I'm trying to drag y'all people, come on. We making progress though, but we 200 years, gotta pass the church down 6 times before we make a mile in the spirit. We making progress though. It's tall for Jesus. That's what talling for Jesus come from. Say that. You talling on your own. When anybody talling for the Lord and you working hard for the Lord, then you're struggling for Jesus, that's you struggling for Jesus. Jesus ain't struggling. Ministry is supposed to be easy. He said, my yoke is easy. My burdens are light. So now if I get to walking, if I do what God told me to do, I'll tell you something about Apostle. I was sitting there talking to Ms. Barbara today, and we were talking about it, and I realized he ain't asked for none of this. God, give me a worldwide ministry. Lord, I want some jets. Lord, bring the people from the east, west, north, and south. He ain't pray none of that. He ain't asked God for none of that. He says, God, listen, I know you're amazing. I love you just for who you are. Use me how you want to use me. I'm right here. Then when God starts giving vision, you ask him right now. You go listen. Y'all hear him say it a lot. He said, I don't know how this happened. I don't know how we got here. Heard God. No preconceived agenda. See, something blessed me one Sunday, man. What time is it? Something blessed me one Sunday. I heard my father say this. He said, I ain't hear my first Bible story till I was 25 years old. He said, he ain't know nothing about no David and Goliath and Joshua and the wall of Jericho and all these different stuff that we know. Right. He said, he ain't heard his first Bible story till he was 25. I said, what? What do you mean? You ain't heard your first Bible study till you was 25. He said, he ain't know nothing about that. But when he got saved, he just knew he loved God. And so he went in that word and started seeing what God was saying and saw God was bigger than what he was seeing. And so I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to figure it out, but I know God know. I don't know how to make this happen. I ain't got no preconceived idea. God, if you just use me to affect these two little people around me, you ever heard him say, if a two snag of two women show up, I'll preach to them, right? You ever heard him say that? That's a God, the honest truth. When he was down in Darrow, 35 people, and most of them was kids. I probably was one of them. And just preach and love God and serve God, never question God. Never go back and say, I'm going to slack up a little bit today. I'm going to rest myself. No. It's not about yourself. Seeking after God. And because of that, the church became unusual. Because he heard what God was saying and just started walking. And whoever won't follow, follow. Whoever won't go, go. And whoever don't, learn this about ministers. Whoever going to go, go. And whoever don't want to go, ain't going to go. Stop trying to change the stuff that you can't change. You won't change everybody. Some people not going to change. Y'all know that, right? Let me tell you something about ministry. Some people not going to change. Some of them not going to get saved. So get off your shoulder. Don't be going to the house crying because they don't want to accept Jesus. Everybody got choice. Jesus said, I set before you life and death, blessing, curses. Choose life that'll be well within you, live long on earth. But if you don't, you can choose what you want to choose. One of the greatest things God has ever given us was a choice. So stop trying to change stuff. People, whoever God has called to follow you will follow you. Further in this book, it starts talking about mega churches, and we get all excited. And the internet, and we watching this, and this big old church, the third time, they got 12 services on a Sunday, and they got a satellite church over there. I talked to a friend of mine, I met a friend I had from college, and I went out of town last weekend, and I met with her just to have dinner, her and a couple of my friends, and we were talking, and she was like, yeah, you know any good churches down here? And I was like, well, I don't really know any in the area, you know, I don't really know. And once again, what I'm about to say, I ain't against this, but this is how stuff happens. She said, yeah, I'm going to church down here. It's a big church, but, you know, she said, I'd rather, you know, somebody be there to minister to me. I was like, man, what you talking about? Somebody to minister. She said, well, you know, they come and they sing and everything, and then they turn the projector on, and he preaching from wherever he at. He So he preaching from Cross City somewhere. Satellite Church, praise the Lord. I ain't. I called you to do this, what he called you to do. But I know there's enough of us. And enough people hearing from God to where God can put people in different places. But why somebody ain't there? Somebody don't want here. See what I'm saying? Y'all get that? I'm over all that stuff. People are looking for change. And whoever's going to follow you is going to follow you. Listen. We've got to do what thus says the Lord to us. And we got to be available. Do y'all get it? Come on. We got to be available for God to use us wherever. Y'all get that? Y'all sit down. I bet I stood up till I we'll talk about y'all. See, you ain't following. That's what's wrong with you now. Jump over to page 25. I got a couple more minutes. This class ends at what time? Darius? 7:35. All right, cool. Jump over to page 25 and go down to the bottom. It says mission. Well, I like that mission defines objectives and purposes. You read that yourself. Jump down. Mission does not change. You see that? First line says, our mission does not change, though the outworking vision changes and is updated and upgraded. How? 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 Now, that's one of the reasons church is not unusual now. Because we still doing the stuff that the church did in 1976. Huh? Question. Did anybody ride a horse and buggy here? Quick question, tell me if you did. I want to go see. I want to go outside, take a picture, put it on Instagram or something, put it online. Did anybody ride a horse and buggy here? Why? Did you ride a horse and buggy yesterday? Did you ride a horse and buggy to church when you went to church last week? Did you? No, how you got there? A car, an automobile, a vehicle, right? Because that's how we get around nowadays, don't we? No, we do not ride horses and buggies. I know you might like to ride horses for leisure, but we don't really get on them and say, let me go to New Orleans on my horse, right? Right? No. But why? Because we have automobiles, because things have changed, and the way that we get around has changed a little bit. Now, the mission, getting to where we got to get to, has not changed, because you have to get from point A to point B, and you still have to get somewhere. The mission has not changed, but the vision or the way to do it has changed progressively. We cannot be in 2013 living in 1996. Come on, people. That's how I keep, y'all let me talk about my apostle when I want to. I keep talking about apostle. I know ain't nobody said nothing, but I saw him. Yeah, let me tell you something about him. He won't do nothing with computers. But I'm out live, I tell you how many years, 10 years, 19 years ago. He won't do the computer. We buy a computer for Christmas and he don't want a computer. Say, yeah, fix it. I just want to do voice notes on it. You know what I'm saying? He don't want nothing to do with the computers. And I saw, over time change, and he'll ask about it. He took a class on computers, because you know, computer age came in real quick, right? Real fast. You wasn't ready. You just wasn't ready. You just got to get ready. So he took up class, but he's like, think about the computer. Let's keep studying the word. And so we started looking at the Bible on the phone. Just say, I don't want the Bible. He don't want none of that, right? And then the iPhone came out, right? The iPhone, he's pressing it just like that. He said, is that easy? Now you got iPhone, iPads all around the house. Here, put some music on there for me. Download that book on there. Let me hear that audio book. He working it now, right? But I saw him change. Watch this. My father's 67 years old. All right, young man. Right? I saw him start picking up things and start changing things, start asking about it. Can I get another one? He never wanted to do no internet. Internet fellowship? People watching class online? No, they need to come to class. No, because if we do the internet, they ain't going to come here. Come on. Yeah. Anyone do no internet? My older brother introduced the internet. They said, man, we can do it. It wasn't internet. It was satellite. Satellite. We do about a satellite and broadcast on satellite, catch it on TV, right? And you put it on the screen, right? They used to do that. We can do that. No, I won't do that. No, I won't do it. I want to do the computers. I'm preaching the word of God. You got a whole some technology, and once you tell me you don't, I ain't gonna badger you about it. I walk light with apostle. You don't want to do it? I bow out the room like that? Yes, sir. Right? I don't mess with him. But it's time, and the Holy Spirit just started doing this with him. She started picking up this and stuff. Well, how you do this? He asked Courtney, how you do this? I showed him how to do it. Next thing you know, now it messed me up the first day I got a text from him. He texted me. He was like, hey, what you doing? I was like, whoa. Then I said something to him. He like, LOL. I like, hold on, I ain't ready, Dad. Dad, I ain't ready. Dad, I said, I ain't ready. I don't know how to handle this. I ain't ready for it. LOL, what do you mean? What does this mean? But he started picking up. He called me in the office today. He online trying to watch an online something. Watch a service online of a minister online. And he pick up different things. He's all for the internet. And was all for the internet fellowship. And see how many people we're touching. And see how many people's lives we're touching when we go different places. Now you can be in the meetings with us when we're on the road, huh? Because of live online. But I saw him, and this is an apostolic strategy that said this. The mission stays the same. We're still changing the lives of people with the word of God. But the vehicle may be different. Yeah. I'll say this before, the method is sacred, but the message is sacred, but the method isn't. Do y'all get me? And so now the mission stays the same. Y'all see that line? But the vision keeps going progressively. If you ain't making no progress, you ain't doing nothing. We cannot be stuck on these old ways. That is tradition, that is religion, and it makes the word of God of no effect. How you gonna minister to somebody that's living in 2013 to update on everything and you ain't? How you plan on reaching that generation? What, you just gonna let them go? What you gonna do? Y'all in ministry school right now, huh? That means y'all, after this, y'all ready to start ministering to people, right? It's 2013. Look at somebody telling me it's 2013. You do know the year is 2013, right? You gotta come up to date. We cannot be trying to live off these old ways of doing things. Huh? We cannot be trying to live off these old ways of doing things. The mission stays the same, but the vision is progressive. It's always moving ahead. If you've been doing the same thing for the past 10 years, you are out of the will of God. Because something should be progressing. Something should be moving forward. Write the vision and make it plain that he that really can run with it. Well, I ain't never, we're not talking about treadmill running right now. There was no treadmills back then. We're not talking about treadmill running. We're talking about running and making progress. This is church unusual. We as a church are behind. Everybody coming out with stuff before we come out with it, but we got the one that created everything. But it's only because it's us. It's right here. We take this religiously. Gotta stop. We take this religiously, but we take this traditionally, and we don't take it progressively. When you start studying the word, do this. When you study the word, you start talking to the Holy Ghost. Next time you study, next time you start praying to the Holy Ghost, and next time you start praying about things, start praying progressively. Start studying. See what God is saying in the word that can make progress. What is he telling you to do that's different from what you've been doing? Probably you haven't. Probably it ain't been prospering because you're doing the same old thing. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Do not be insane. Do y'all get me? Sometimes it's one little change that you'll make that'll catapult you through the roof. But you got to be willing to change. Willing to change. Willing to change. Ever get to the point where you can't change? The moment that you get to the point where you can't change and you don't want to do anything different, God has to stop using you. Because God is all about change. Him, his move, his power, everything demands change. It demands constant change in your life, in your ministry, in everybody that you come in contact with. It demands change. This is Church Unusual. Church Unusual demands change. Don't start no ministry if you ain't going to change nothing. Give it up. Go do something else. Listen to me. Go do something else. Don't come up here talking about I'm Reverend such and such and you ain't trying to bring no change. And not the change that you want. Find out what the Holy Ghost want to do. If you're not going to bring no change, stop. You're making the room too crowded for us people that want to bring change. You should have been talking about us people too. That should have been your thought, us people, right? Us people want to bring change. Don't cloud the room up. If you're not going to make no change, get out the way. It's like a race. If you ain't going to run fast, you're not going to pass the baton, get out the track. Church Unusual, man. Let's go for this thing, man.